This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Almost every day, there's some kind of travel disaster in this world.
Hundreds of people are feared dead after a ferry capsized during a typhoon in the Philippines.
At least seven people are dead and hundreds more injured after a train crashed in Cameroon.
The Go Express was traveling near Mathura City en route to New Delhi when it crashed into a stationary train in the early hours of the morning.
Usually they're one-day stories. No, these days just a few hours. Then the world goes back to its business and Americans complain that the bags of peanuts they receive on passenger planes are growing smaller. Carl Hoffman, who's a contributing editor at National Geographic Traveler and other magazines, decided that he wanted to travel the world recklessly, the way millions do, not for pleasure or exploration, but survival. So he spent 5 months traveling on the world's most dangerous airlines, overstuffed ferry boats, and precarious buses. He's recorded his travels in the new book, The Lunatic Express. He joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
First, are you comfortable? Can we get you anything?
No, I'm fine. Perfect.
You're not used to people saying that the way you've been traveling. Is there something all these perilous modes of transit share?
Well, they share many things. They're all uncomfortable. They're all loud. They're all dirty. They're all crowded. They're often hot, though if it's in the winter in Mongolia or China, they can be freezing cold. Nobody has money, so the buses don't have new tires and they don't have brakes, and the way operators make money is to put a lot of people in them.
You tell us in the book that 3,000 people a day die in road accidents in Latin America. And so, of course, you rode a bus in just about the most dangerous stretches of Latin America.
Well, I just got on a bus and went. There's nothing else to do. The bus goes on mountain roads and roads that are really not roads at all. They're just washed out dirt strips with huge sharp plunges off of cliffs and traveling.
No guardrails, typically.
No guardrails, and those journeys are incredibly long. And I mean, it took me from Ayacucho to Cusco 24 hours to travel just a couple hundred miles. Mm-hmm. But there's always an incredible quantity of fresh food coming into the bus, and that's the flip side of really bad, dangerous travel, is that it's incredibly ubiquitous and full of delicious food.
Mm-hmm. There was a five-day stretch, I hope you don't mind me asking, but you write about it in the book, when she was then 17-year-old mm-hmm. daughter, Lily, mm-hmm. joined you. There's a part of me as a parent, too, that wonders, knowing how dangerous it is, why a parent brings his daughter along.
Well, I mean, for me, I thought that the reward outweighed the risks, and that for Lily, who already traveled to Nicaragua and Mexico and parts of Canada and Italy, it would be a wonderful experience for Lily. It was a little, I overestimated a little bit. You know, Lily was walking out of her high school one day and on a bus in Peru for 30-something hours the next day, and that was on mountain roads, and that was hard for her.
Let's make plain, it wasn't just a matter of lack of comfort or, you know, lack of Western-style toilets. You know, we're talking about, as you so vividly describe in the book, roads where a lot of accidents occur.
I think she was just, there was a huge amount of culture shock. Mm-hmm. And she was squished into a seat. There were roaches falling out of the curtains when the sun went down. And the food was suspect. And she'd look and see those cliffs and think, oh my God, what are we doing? But to me, I mean, if you don't embrace the adventure of it all and take certain risks, then life is boring and not worth living.
You rode a ferry boat called the, I hope I pronounced it correctly, Bukit Singateng. And when you describe how everybody traveled, it is literally sickening.
That was a tough, one of my physically most difficult legs. 5 days from Jakarta to Ambon in the Molucca Islands. Mm-hmm. Out of regular space for 2,000 people, 1,800 of those were in economy and in what steerage. And in Surabaya, another 1,000 people must have climbed on, and it was incredibly crowded. You slept on a platform, a hard platform, all just lined up like hot dogs in a grill. And there was no, in steerage, there was no ventilation. There were no windows or portholes that opened. So you had cigarette smoke, it was probably 100 degrees, and fluorescent lights on, and a lot of cockroaches just all the time.
You also, I got the impression, developed some of your warmest friendships on the ferry boat.
I was surrounded by incredible people, most of whom were women. All these people were watching my stuff and taking me off. When we'd dock, we'd go off and they'd take me for meals. They would never let me pay. I mean, people are incredibly generous the world over and incredibly warm. And I can't say that's not something I wasn't aware of, but it overwhelmed me always, over and over again.
How's it changed you as a traveler? Like, are you less inclined to complain about the fact that they don't have macadamia nuts on the flights anymore?
It's funny. There's two ways of traveling. When I traveled for Lunatic, I gave up. I surrendered to it. You couldn't be impatient if a flight didn't show up or the ferry was 2 days late or 5 days late. I still find I get frustrated on an American flight, for instance. You know, you expect it to be on time and you expect there to be some food and you want to have the seat next to you unoccupied. And when you get on and when the plane's late and the seat and it's crowded and you're in coach and there's no leg room and all they give you is peanuts.
Yeah.
You know, I get incredibly frustrated, just like everybody else.
Yeah. And but are you less inclined to call it, you know, to get home and then call it a hellish experience?
I mean, I can do anything. I know that I'm capable of suffering through anything.
Would you do this again?
I would. Absolutely.
Carl Hoffman, his new book, The Lunatic Express, Discovering the World Via Its Most Dangerous Buses, Boats, Trains, and Planes. Mr. Hoffman, thanks so much.
Thank you.